Hey everyone, welcome to Locked On Lakers, a special bonus post-game three edition. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers take a 2-1 lead in the series. They beat Memphis 111-101 on Saturday night. We'll break down next.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, and clearly sometimes, Andy, on Sundays. Locked On Lakers is always here to provide you the freshest Lakers analysis and news, always free, never behind a paywall. And we're getting near 16,000 people up on the YouTube who have subscribed and are joining that channel and making it run, making it thrive, all of whom are, I would say, unless you're just one of these perfectionists, got to be pretty excited by what happened on Saturday night. The Lakers take a 2-1 series lead over the Memphis Grizzlies. They win 111-101 in a game that they really did control from end to end. They get off, Andy, to a 35-9 start. That's a football score, for God's sakes. It's 35-9 at the end of the first quarter. Maintain control through there. Dylan Brooks got ejected in the third quarter for poking the bear in his genitals.
I did not realize that the bear was actually Dylan Brooks's nickname for LeBron's genitalia. It's cute that he's got a little pet name for it.
And before that, Dylan Brooks wasn't having a particularly good game. So
he was not.
I know a lot of Lakers fans were probably disappointed that Brooks got thrown out because he really was one of the best players on the floor for LA this game. He was ejected with 3 of 13 from the floor, 1 of 5 from 3-point range again in only 19 minutes. So the clear loser in the Dylan Brooks versus LeBron James battle on Saturday night was LeBron James, or was Dylan Brooks. And oh, Andy, you just hate to see it. Let's get to that in a second. Let's talk about the game first, because Twitter.
We're going to get into a lot of more specific details for Monday's show. Sure. This is the quicker reaction / mocking of Dylan Brooks portion of the analysis.
It's got to be done. The Lakers fans, I think, got a little upset, a little nervous periodically. Twitter is an angsty place during playoff games. It was the Lakers got up huge early. They did not put the game away in the sense that they could sit everybody in the fourth quarter and they win all that other stuff. But Memphis never got within 10 points after the Lakers built up the big lead. And so what I loved about this 35-9 first quarter, Andy, was obviously the nine, which was a combination, I thought, of horrible.
They actually did, Brian, really quick. They did get within briefly 9 points.
Oh, they did get to nine.
With a minute and a half, they got the score down to 99-108 when Desmond Bane hit a three.
Okay, I thought that was still 10 for everything, but more or less. And then it bumped right back up to 10.
It went immediately back up, but just for clarification's sake.
Thank you. The part that I loved about the 35-9 was the nine. Memphis missed a ton of shots, no question. The Lakers were also playing really, really high-end energetic defense, which altered a lot of shots and I think got Memphis off of their game. But I will tell you what I loved about it, and it was the 35, because if the Lakers don't take advantage of a, and I mean this in the most literal sense, a historic bad performance from Memphis in the first quarter, nine is history-making low.
It was the biggest first quarter lead for the Lakers in franchise playoff history.
And the lowest, I think, output from a team in a quarter in the first quarter.
Well, I know it was for the Lakers, and for those keeping score at home, they've been in a lot of playoff series with a lot of first quarter.
It was certainly the lowest number that the Lakers have held a team and all that kind of stuff. But I think actually from an NBA standpoint, I thought I saw the number. Either way, 9 points is very low. But if the Lakers' offense isn't operating, if they're not converting on the other end, if they're not moving nicely, because the offense wasn't great as the game went on for a lot of different reasons, which we'll probably get into, it's much different if they finish that quarter winning 27-9 or 25-9. You look at it and you're like, wow, 25-9, pretty good first quarter. But it's a missed opportunity because the entire game, Andy, changed because of that 35-9 first quarter lead. You're up 26 points at the end of the first quarter. And while Memphis was able to kind of chip away at it here and there, for the most part, the game was between 13 and 20 for the rest of the way.
Yeah, I mean, it's as much as you want to see a team just absolutely step on an opponent's neck when they've got an early lead for, 44 minutes, whatever it was, it's not really how things work in the NBA. And that is, by the way, not to excuse the Lakers for the last, say, 7 minutes of this game, because some of these issues were of the Lakers' own making. I mean, Ja Morant was incredible in the second half, in the fourth quarter. He scored 22 straight points, which really was Memphis getting back into this game. It was really the Ja Morant show, and I think we've put to bed, whenever Ja gets hurt and Memphis plays well without him, there becomes that discussion, are the Grizzlies actually secretly better without Ja Morant? And the answer is no. No, because I'll tell you why. Yes, I know they lost this game. I know they lost game one. The difference is without Ja, they don't even have a prayer of trying to get back into this game today. Like, nobody on the Grizzlies is capable of scoring 22 straight points. And we can get into more details Monday about the Lakers' problems down the stretch of this game and sort of the overarching issues they've had with closing out, period. But it is difficult to ask a team to do much more than maintain double-digit lead for an entire game. The Lakers did this.
In the playoffs particularly. Yes. I mean, this was as comfortable a win as you can possibly get in the playoffs, reasonably expect to get in the playoffs.
Other than just a straight blowout.
As a seven seed against a two. Yeah. I mean, you talk about, Andy, the stepping on the neck and the putting him away. And Memphis gets a vote, like, in this. And, like, they were not going to continue shooting as badly as they did.
Well, they caught a break when Brooks got ejected.
They sure did. I mean, like I said, I was disappointed. I was upset when he got thrown out of the game. The punishment for Dylan Brooks is they should have made him keep playing. Like, well, Taylor Jenkins shouldn't have been allowed to sub him out. Like, he has to keep playing.
Ja Morant was asked after the game if he's worried that Dylan Brooks will get suspended in game four. Mark Medina reporting this, and he said, quote, with how they treat Dylan, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, Ja was maintaining, too, that Dylan Brooks was reaching for the basketball and didn't really intentionally try to hit LeBron in the groin.
Of the three balls available there, the basketball was the furthest away.
Well, a lot. Okay. I mean, other than the fact of, no, we saw what happened. And, Dylan Brooks spent way too much time, telegraphing the stuff that he was going to be looking to do against LeBron, period. Like, that's the downside of doing a press conference dressed like this, talking about poking the bear, is you get the refs watching for you a little bit. But also, too, if Dylan Brooks was going to go for the ball, my suggestion, and granted, I am no professional basketball player, much less somebody who's the quality of defender that, to be fair, Dylan Brooks can be, I would suggest going
with your hand.
I would suggest using the hand that's closer to the basketball as opposed to what Dylan did, which was using essentially his offhand defending to hit LeBron in the junk, as opposed to actually using the hand that was closer to the ball. Like, but anyway, if the league really wants to punish Dylan Brooks, they'll force him to keep playing in this series. Yeah. He has been, Brian, through three games, 13 of 40 from the field, 25% from behind the arc.
These shooting percentages are not wildly out of character, which is part of the reason that from the moment one of this series, we have maintained the more that Dylan Brooks shoots, the better it is. And I know, look, we both talked about it. Like, the player most likely to be put on tilt by all of Dylan Brooks's performative Dylan Brooksiness was always Dylan Brooks. It was never LeBron. Of the two of them, if you had to pick which one of them. So the results of this game in terms of the LeBron versus Brooks thing, not surprised. Before we go, I just, you know, like you say, we'll talk more about the individual performances. So much of it gets skewed based on what happened in that first quarter, because the Lakers' offense got really wonky after that. I think the Lakers, one of the
no, I mean, they shot well in the third quarter.
Yeah, they did, but, you know, Anthony Davis, this is what, but like I said, like, the third quarter was good because Memphis crept within, what was it, 16 at halftime or 14 at halftime, I forget. But, and, you know, they had an opportunity with a big push early to make the, you know, make it a really interesting game. And the Lakers pushed that thing sort of back out into that 13 to 20 range for most, and it was fine, you know, on all that. You look at the final percentages in terms of just efficiencies and things like that. AD was 11 of 24, 31.17 rebounds, very active defensively. I don't have a problem with
it. He's a madman defensively.
Yeah, I have no problems. I'm just saying, if you look just some at the raw percentages, it can be a little bit, you know, potentially misleading. You know, the 25% from 3-point range is not. It is a weird thing to be up by that big in a game, because you have this weird combination. This is not a Lakers thing. It is an NBA thing where sometimes you feel like you can't be super aggressive because you don't want to take quick shots or take big risks. And then, you know, but you also get really passive because you want to kind of take some of the air out of the ball, bleed the game a little bit. And that leads to stagnant possessions and all that. The Lakers saw a lot of those things. I thought the end of the first half, the part that of the game that bugged me the most was the end of the first half, where I thought they were going for too many knockout punches, too many highlight plays. D'Angelo Russell, who was excellent in the first quarter, was, I thought, particularly guilty of that in his second shift. But I'm not complaining about this game in the slightest. 2-1 lead without, you know, tons of effort. You go into Monday's game feeling very confident about how you can handle and defend Memphis, because in all three of these games, including the one the Lakers lost, it's not like Memphis putting up big points. Lakers have shown they can defend this team. They just got to make some shots and they can win.
And they got to, I mean, they do, as we saw in the second half of this game, they may have to figure out some adjustments for Ja. I mean, you know, Jared Vanderbilt scored 0 points in this game. I imagine it is in part because he was exhausted from spending pretty much all 21 of his minutes on Ja Morant. That is a difficult assignment. But you look at the team as a whole. You had five guys in double figures, another really strong game from Rui Hachimura off the bench. Like, it's gone under the radar for all the focus on Dylan Brooks and did he poke the wrong bear in LeBron. Desmond Bane clearly poked the wrong bear in Rui when he said after game one, yeah, let's see if he can do this again. That turned out wasn't all that smart a bet.
He's played quite well. And like, you know, really the whole team was excellent, you know, in that early stretch. Hachimura came in and scored like 7 points in 41 seconds or something. That was really is insane. But anyway, yeah. So we'll go through more things in detail. Still a lot to like from Saturday's win, particularly from an energy and focus standpoint early, given what happened on Wednesday in game two. Some things that need to be cleaned up contextually in a closer game. I think some of these things would have looked different. But, you know, the Lakers are not a perfect team. And so we'll get into some of that stuff for Monday. But in the meantime, everybody can enjoy a very happy Sunday. The Lakers in their first full house playoff game in a decade in that building. put on a great show for fans, and everyone went home happy. Lockdown Lakers on YouTube is where you can go see the show. We will be back on Monday, Andy, but first, this.
Well, the Lockdown Lakers is brought to you by Prize Picks. And Laker fans, if you have not signed up yet for Prize Picks, you are missing out on Daily Fantasy Made Easy. Prize Picks has the best NBA DFS prop game on the market, more NBA props than any other DFS prop operator. They offer the superstar players, the bench players. Just pick 2 to 6 players and predict whether they will notch more or less than their Prize Picks stats projections, and you can win up to 25 times your money. And they offer projections on everything from MLB to PGA, actual golf, to disc golf, which is just fun golf and apparently part of the Prize Pick selections. Again, they have everything. Use the award-winning app on both the App Store and Google Play. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Safe, fast withdrawals. So download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com, sign up, play daily fantasy sports, and first-time users can receive a 100% instant match deposit up to $100 with the promo code Locked On. Again, don't forget the promo code Locked On at the sign up for the instant match. And if you're not playing Prize Picks, seriously, you don't know what you're missing.
Locked On Lakers also brought to be Ultimate Pro Basketball GM. If you've ever wanted to be a great NBA GM, it turns out it's not all that easy. I've fantasized about it. You've fantasized about it, managing your own basketball franchise. Well, here's your chance. Go and download Ultimate Pro Basketball GM right now. This is a game that allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise, playing through seasons, leading your franchise and fans to glory as you build a historic dynasty. In the simulation, you are responsible, Andy, for dealing with challenging personalities of players, with coaches. Maybe you have a Russell Westbrook on your team. I don't know. You're hiring the right coaches and assistants. You're trading and training players. You're making draft picks. You're navigating the franchise through free agency drafts. It's all the stuff. All of the stuff. And in this challenging and realistic game world, Ultimate Pro Basketball GM is completely free. Free. So you're getting all this stuff, but you're not paying for it. It's playable offline. You can play it on the go. Play whatever you want. And so Locked On Lakers listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store. Make sure to check it out. To download, just visit ProBasketballGM.com, scan the code, or look it up on the App Store. That's it. It's ProBasketballGM.com. Ultimate Basketball GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, we'll see everybody Monday.